Welcome to the latest Cherry Leaf podcast. In this episode, we're going to look at tools for reviewing and editing content. In the next podcast episode, you'll hear our predictions for future trends for 2018 and beyond. And for that edition, we were thinking about including items we'd like to see as future trends but haven't come about. And one of those, if we had included that, would have been improvements in the way in which people can get their content reviewed and edited by others. In this podcast, we're going to look really just at tools. We're not going to look at the process of how to edit and how to review and the different types of editing and reviewing, partly because we have an online course on that topic. One of the reasons why we considered including it as an area where we'd like to see improvements is because there are often issues, challenges, problems with getting content reviewed. Some of the typical problems that technical writers or other writers face within organisations is that you can end up with multiple versions of your document. You email it out to somebody to review, they make their changes, and you get back the document again. And so you then have two versions, your original version and the reviewed version. And somebody else might review it and send it back. And then you have three versions of the document to manage. And another problem can be is if you move away from the common popular tools like Word, it can be difficult to get people to do the review. They can be reluctant to use a tool that they're unfamiliar with, or they might not have that application on their machine. Another challenge can be incorporating the changes and comments into your source document. And a common problem when people review Word documents is you can find that the styles that you've used, the heading styles, the heading levels that you've used can be broken. People that are reviewing the document decide to use different fonts, different colours. They go to headings 1 to 4 when you only want to go to heading 3. The way they do numbered steps or bullets can be different, which means you have to go back and reformat your document. Other challenges can be tracking who made a particular change to a document, keeping documents private, or giving people the authority to make changes. If you've got external people reviewing a document, there may be sections that you don't want them to see. So how do you redact and keep those private? Which means that for technical authors and other people writing content, the whole review process can be time-consuming, can be frustrating, and often leading to a wish that there were simpler ways to do things or that your reviewers could use the software in the same way that you use it. So let's look at some of the tools that we can use to review documents, some of the existing tools that are out there, and see if we can use them in better ways. So we've mentioned it already, Word. Word is a very common, very popular tool for reviewing and editing documents. One of the attractions of Word is that many people have it. It's a user interface that people are familiar with. But the downside is that because it's a tool that's designed to do many things, including desktop publishing, it's very easy to do things like change the styles. And the natural inclination often is again to do this email ping pong of sending a document out to somebody and send it back again. Some of these problems can be fixed if we use Word in a slightly different way. For example, with the latest version of Word in Windows, it is possible to have your document and save it in a way that the heading styles and the formatting are locked down, that if somebody else is sent that document for review, they are restricted in the fonts and styles that they can use. So that's one way in which you can do it. I understand it's not available yet on the Mac version, but it is there for the Windows version. And another reason why Word is so popular is that it's relatively straightforward to make a change to text and also to add a comment. There's a review tab on the ribbon bar within Word, which makes it easy for you to, if you're reviewing a document, go through and add changes. And as somebody that's accepting the a document that has been reviewed. It's very easy to go through and accept or reject to see the changes that somebody's made. Now, in addition to locking down the styles, another thing that we can do is, rather than send out documents by email, is to put your document into the cloud, onto SharePoint, onto a shared drive, and then people can use, for example, the web version of Word, the cloud version. Now, that does have some limitations in the functionality, but one of the advantages of having everybody work on the same document is you just have one document that you're working on, not these multiple versions of things. And one of Word's competitors, Google Docs, by default works in that way. Many organizations that use Docs for their word processing, for doing their documents, have this approach of putting the version up onto Google Drive and then getting everybody to collaborate on that single document. And that's a good habit, or often an attractive habit, that Word users should adopt in the way that they have documents that are being worked on by more than one person. And Google Docs is often better at discouraging people from changing the styles, changing the headings. However, a downside is sometimes if you have lots of documents on a drive, it may not be straightforward or easy for somebody to find that document. Another popular alternative is to use PDFs and Acrobat. And again, it's relatively straightforward if you're given a PDF to add comments to it. Now, if you want to incorporate those comments into your document, then you'll need the paid version of Acrobat, Acrobat DC, to have that particular functionality. Acrobat is very popular because you get, as a reviewer, a document that looks like it's going to be published, and the Acrobat Reader is free to use. It's easy to download. Most machines have a PDF viewer on them. But a downside with Acrobat is, again, typically what people do is they email out that PDF to somebody and ask them to review it, and you can get different versions back from different people. Another downside can be if you need to make a change, then often what it means is going back to your word processor, making the change in that tool, then saving as a PDF, and then sending it out for review. And that can make it more time consuming. One attraction of Acrobat is you can redact sections. They can be hidden from people, made black, so that people cannot see them. Now, one approach to get around these problems with using Acrobat is to not send them out by email. And in the same way that you can put a Word document onto a server and get people to work collaboratively, you can put an Acrobat file onto a server and again get all the reviews into one single document. Now, to do that, you need to have it placed onto a drive that supports WebDAV. Now, this does come, I understand, with SharePoint, although you may be restricted as to whether you can get external readers to review a document, people outside of your organization. But it's relatively cheap to pay for a drive or a server that supports WebDAV. You can get this from around about $25 a year. And then what you'll get is an address for where you can put your document with a username and password. With the paid version of Acrobat, you can upload your Acrobat document to that drive, and then you can ask people to review that document, give them the web address for that particular file, for that particular document, and again, all of the changes get made to one single document. Another approach that is growing in popularity is to use GitHub. And this is, again, back to what we've mentioned in previous podcasts, the idea of treating docs like code. And that if you've got developers that are reviewing code in one particular way, if we provide them with the content for the documentation in the same way, in the same workflow, in the same tools, then it makes it easier for them to review the content, makes it more likely that they'll review the content. So this is an attractive way to go if your reviewers work in this way. However, if it's involving people that are unfamiliar with this type of workflow, unfamiliar with GitHub, then they might find it a bit daunting. and particularly if you've got people from other departments outside of development, for example, people from legal or people from the marketing department, they may find it quite difficult to use this type of workflow. Now, there are some content management tools and some authoring tools that can hide the intricacies of GitHub. And there are tools like Authoria, although strictly speaking that isn't based on GitHub, Forestry, Penflip, and others, where you would give your users access to an authoring tool where it would pull down the content from GitHub and they would make changes and submit them. And then you could use the GitHub workflow for approving or rejecting the changes that they've submitted. And if you want to keep everything private, you can have a private GitHub repository from about $7 a month. And there's also alternatives from suppliers like GitLab as well. Now, in fact, with the docs-like code and GitHub approach, typically what people are doing is they're writing in Markdown or another lightweight markup language. And there is actually a markup syntax or set of rules for editing content called Critic Markup, where you can use particular codes for suggesting additions to a document or deletions or changes in text. However, that does take a little while to get used to the syntax, to be familiar on how to do it, but it may be useful if you do go to that approach to adopt that style of marking up the text for making those changes. Otherwise, what you can do is look at different versions of the documents applied by different people, identify the changes, accept or reject them. So we've looked at Acrobat, we've looked at word processors, we've looked at the GitHub approaches. What other ways can we do it? One way that is used by the Government Digital Service, particularly for reviewing web pages, some of the content on gov.uk, is to use an open source tool called Hypothesis. And what this tool can do, it's an open source tool, it enables you to make annotations to a web page. So if you put your content up as a web page, what your reviewers can do is they can use Hypothesis, select text and annotate it with their comments. They can add tags as well, and they can post those comments in the public domain, or those can be saved privately so that only the people within the group can see what those comments are. And we'll post a link to the Hypothesis website in the show notes. If you're working in an XML environment using standards like Dita, then one of the challenges with that is, if you're getting people to review the content who are not professional writers, is all the tagging that goes along with XML might discourage them. They might find it daunting. They're worried that if they made a change that they might do something wrong. They might in error delete a tag, or they might add text and not know what are the correct tags to use. And if they then go to save, the application might not allow them to do that because the tagging is incorrect. And this can be a challenge, and again often leads people to sending out the documents as PDFs. Again, partly the attraction for doing PDFs in that way is they see the whole of the document as how it will be published rather than just a chunk of content, which is often the way in which content is written with an XML tool, little chunks of content. However, often the tools for writing and authoring Dita and other XML schemas offer ways in which to hide that complexity from reviewers. For example, tools like Fonto XML and Oxygen XML do enable people to make changes without having to see all that complexity, that stuff that's going on behind the scenes. And equally, tools like Madcap Contributor are tools that can accompany their help authoring tool, Madcap Flare. And Contributor is a tool whereby you can send out content to people and they can make amendments using Contributor, and they just see a simplified authoring tool where they can make the changes without having to have purchased or need to know the more powerful Madcap Flare authoring tool. Another popular way for reviewing and editing and making changes to text, particularly within the support environment, is to use wiki-based authoring tools. For example, Confluence and MindTouch. And with those, often there's an edit button and somebody can go in and make a minor change, and they have a very intuitive or straightforward authoring environment, although there is some criticism of the most recent version of Confluence, that the editing environment's been made poorer than the previous version, and they can save. And depending on how you set up those tools, there can be a workflow that means that that content goes to a staging point and then is approved by somebody. But with these wiki pages, what you can see is the version history of the changes that have been made. So if you are the owner of the page and you disagree with a particular change, you can roll back to an earlier version. Now, with some of these tools, for example, Confluence, it's possible for people to add comments at the bottom of the page rather than change the body text itself. However, this isn't necessarily intuitive to end users, and they may be reluctant to make comments which are seen by everybody. They might be worried that they'll lose face by doing that. So that approach needs to work within a particular culture, within an environment, or within a private group. And of course, there is another way that many times is used for getting people to review content, and that is to print it out, to give people a printed copy. Now, one of the advantages of the printed copy is that the resolution is excellent. It's 300, 400 dots per inch. It's very portable. People can review things on the train, in the bath, in many different places. They don't get the issues over eye strain, and it's easy for them to just scribble over a page. And again, if we go back to the Government Digital Service, one of the things they do for asking people to review content and users to review content on different pages is they will give them a printout and give them a red and a green highlighter pen and ask them to use the red highlighter pen to mark sentences where or phrases where they're not confident, they don't trust the text, that the text isn't clear to them, and to use the green highlighter pen to mark the text that they judge clear, to be trustworthy, to be accurate. And that's a very simple, quick and effective way of spotting problems in your content. But that's more of a review from an end user perspective than asking a subject matter expert to review their content. If we get our subject matter experts to review content by printing it out, they're more likely to do it often. But the downside is that whatever changes they put on that piece of paper, you then have to key in to your authoring tool to get those changes enacted into your source version. So what else have we missed? Is there another tool or technology that you use? Well, share it with us. Send us an email, info@cherryleaf.com, or you can add a comment via the place where we host this podcast, which is cherryleaf.podbean.com. Now, there is one new technology that we're going to cover in our next episode on trends in technical communication for 2018 and beyond. I'll hold back on describing what that is for the moment, but it is something we cover in the next podcast. And I mentioned earlier, we do have a training course on how to edit and review content. If you go to our website, cherryleaf.com, you'll find details on that. And we'll also provide a link to that editing course in the show notes to go with this podcast. So that's it for this episode. Again, thank you for listening. Have a look at the show notes for the details on the tools that we've mentioned. And if we've missed out something, do let us know. Thanks for listening.